We're gonna let Hane run up in here whenever he wants to.
Okay.
Is it super weird if I'm eating a little pizza?
Nope.
No, nobody can see how what you're doing.
I was gonna Priscilla say. Really hates mouth noises. Do y'all mouth noises? They don't really bother me that much. I mean, like Robbie, this wouldn't bother me at all. I can kind of see where Priscilla's coming from. Like if somebody's eating like right next to her and there's mouth noises. But.
I definitely like if we're going to like we don't sit to the table and eat like a normal family. So we sit in front of the TV and eat and I have to have some kind of noise. I can't just like listen
yeah.
to somebody chewing, but I'm not like freaked out. Audrey is kind of a brat about it.
Yeah. All right. Well, Amy, I want to start things off with asking you a question.
Jesus.
And the question is,
she's stressed.
I have listened to, like, I will listen to things. I have to, you know, I edit, I put the stuff out and all of that stuff. And I just realized that I pick on you a lot. And I wanted to just double check with you that that you are receiving it all in good fun.
I like demanded, pleaded, called God on promises and was like, you have to show up or like I am done. And he did. And he did.
That's something yep. to really think about. What does it mean that the God of the universe loves me?
Are we saying that our God is bigger than their God or what?
Man, you got my mind going crazy right now.
I just think that that is evangelical bullshit.
And I don't fit in their box anymore. So feeling rejected from the church makes me feel far away from God.
If I'm living out the love of God, love of the divine, then in some ways we're unoffendable.
It's wrong to marginalize anybody for any reason.
Sometimes we can just have some things about our perspective that's off until we encounter someone who can challenge our thoughts, have conversations with us, and we just continue to grow and evolve.
I'm with you there. Yeah, I like that.
That sounded like womp, 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 womp to Rob.
I'm a hardcore gospel lover. I do love the gospel. I just think we get it wrong.
Girl, I was so highly medicated, I don't even know if you
Oh, God, my people.
Check, check, check. Yo, it's Joey. Thanks for listening to the Pastor with No Answers mixtape era. And today I'm hanging with three buddies, all co-hosts of the show, Hane Griffin, Amy Alderman, and Robbie Madison. Hope all is well with the listenership. Loved hearing from some of you over the holidays. How am I? Well, hey, good. Thanks for asking. Honestly, I was texting my cousin and told her the other day how life is so, so beautiful and so, so hard. And that's kind of my sentiments right now. Hey, one warning on this episode, when Hane goes into his prank story with his friends who are moving, about his friends who are moving, let the reminder in your brain go off. It's a very disgusting story involving fecal matter. I mean, it's really, really gross. So if you're sensitive with poop stuff or currently eating like a hero sandwich or brownie or something, you may want to skip. And I'll even have a chapter marker for you. How about that? Special treatment. All right, thanks for listening. And for extra content, get B-Sides. Support me as a podcaster while you're at it. Sometimes picking can be too much, and I just want to make sure that I have not gone into a space of, I wish Joey would leave me alone, because that's obviously because I like you and I have fun, but do I take it too far?
Which can also be what bullies say. You know?
Right. Right.
Do you
feel like even this right now, like a manipulative bully?
So Joey's like, let me set up this question where you look like an asshole right. and you say, yeah, I do feel like right. shit, actually. No. I mean,
seriously, if I could tell that this flipped serious, then we wouldn't record.
Yeah.
But
no.
I didn't think it would. I didn't think that was the case, but
I think check in. Even like like, well, I think that we're close enough where, I mean, I have always joked, like, I don't always know if you're kidding or not. Like, sometimes I'll be like, Joey, and then I'm like, no, he's kidding. But I do always think when we're on here, like, you're being funny. Like, I don't think you would ever embarrass someone in front of other people on purpose. I don't think you would.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Because especially that episode where I kept doing that laugh track over and over. Yeah.
I just re-listened to that.
I did too. I listened to it with my mom.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
And my mom was like,
I remember we were all like, where is that coming from?
All right, let me ask y'all something. Are either one of y'all, and I don't expect you to be, I'm not, and I knew I was going to ask y'all this, and I didn't look into anything. Are y'all, either one of y'all, educated on why the crazy influx on... What are the kind of phone calls? I can't, my brain just doesn't work these days, but kind of phone calls that are unwelcome, soliciting, but what do we call them? Telemarketers.
Telemarketers. I was about to say spam. Right?
No, I'm like,
yeah, telemarketers.
I mean, is it just not getting crazy? I mean, I will seriously sit there and my phone can ring three times in an hour. And there's been times when I will pick it up and hang it up and they call right back.
Yeah, never.
I'm like, you have got to be kidding
me. You don't pick up and hang up because that instigates it to go through like their phone tree of like, oh, we got disconnected, but that's a live person. That's a real number. So when it comes through, you always let it go to voicemail or whatever, but always mark it as like block caller afterwards and then they'll stop.
Do those work?
Really?
Like when you hit mark caller?
Like mark a spam or block this number or whatever, it works. Also, are you not?
So you're getting less and less then? If you're doing that,
I hardly
repeatedly.
Get any. But are you not on the do not call list?
What do you mean?
There's the remember when you had home phones and you could get on the do not call registry, and so like the businesses have to scrub against the do not call registry before they can call you, and it's actually illegal. It's considered harassment to call you if your number's on the do not call registry. So I long ago when we just had home phones, I also put my cell phone number on there. So lots of people by the time like home phones weren't a thing anymore forgot about the do not call registry. Like y'all are like, what is this? And so
right.
Robbie, me and you may be the only dummies, including the listenership. Like the listenership may be like, right. Is Robbie and Joey serious? Like they haven't done this yet.
Yeah. And then like right. What happens is if they call you, and now this is for legitimate businesses, like obviously not like if it's a spammer, you know, I mean like a
robot,
yeah,
like a bot.
Yeah. There's
something.
Nothing you can do about that. But
yeah.
If it's like a real business trying to call you, like they can be fined for calling you if you're on the do not call registry. And also if someone were to call you and they were like, I want to be taken off your list. So yeah. So you can sue them if they like they have 30 days to get you off their list or something or 20 days or 15 days or whatever it is. But so like I remember watching where a lady had like a 3-ring spiral notebook. Not 3 rings because that's not spiral. A 3-subject spiral notebook. And she like on 2020 or Dateline or one of those like had recorded every time someone called her home phone and what company it was and requesting like, don't ever call me again. And she had a 3-subject spiral bound notebook like filled with these calls that were unsolicited, you know? And so that's, she went to court and that's how they came up with the do not call registry.
Dang, because that's what I was wondering is like, doesn't my phone number belong to me? Like, why can anyone just call? But now I know to put my number on a do not call. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, I feel like I can almost guarantee that the majority of millennials have no idea that exists. The do not call list.
Yeah,
because I definitely didn't. But
yeah,
but
they also don't know what a phone book is, probably.
True.
So here's some moral stuff. All right. Now this is, I mean, this won't surprise you two, obviously, but oh my gosh, it was years ago. It was just entertainment for me and Priscilla. I decided that when I answer the phone and it was a telemarketer, and this was probably around the time of landlines also, I was like, I'm going to flip the table on them. and I'm gonna make them want to get off the phone with me. And so I am like, I can think right off my feet. And so there, I mean, I'll just give you one example. One time I flipped into and I started to talk and like very numerically. And I told them that I love movies. Do you like movies? And they're just like, sir. And I said, right now I have all of my DVDs all spread out on the floor and I've got them categorized. Do you like Karate Kid? I have all the Karate Kid. And I just went on and on and on and on. And I would go from one movie to the next. And I mean, I talked probably 10 minutes straight and then I would stop and they're just like, well, sir. And I was like, and then I would go right back into it. And I finally, in this particular instance, they finally said, sir, we really have to go. And so I got them to want to get off the phone with me. But here's what's so ironic is this was in my more legalistic days, which I find myself to be. I was a loving person, but I didn't think real deeply about loving and respecting people with dignity. And so I've been doing that up until this time, and my kids have enjoyed just seeing, you know, hearing me heckle these people that call us on the phone. Well, I have recently started to feel, I don't know if convicted is the right word, but I'm like, I know that these people shouldn't be calling me, but I'm not treating them with honor or respect or dignity in any way when I am basically making a mockery of them. And so I really think that I'm going to have a conversation with my kids and say, look, you know, your dad, you know, that I'm not about belittling people, but I do think that, you know, this entertainment that I've been giving you guys by messing with these people, I don't think that I was treating them well. And from now on, I'm just going to say, no, thank you. I'm not interested. And then I'm going to hang up. Like, I don't think that I need to have like this long honoring conversation and ask them questions about what they're trying to sell me. But I also don't feel right, no matter how fun it is, to make a mockery of them. Like, how do y'all feel about that? Amy, you were shaking your head. No, like, it doesn't matter. Like, these people are scum.
I don't understand why you answer the phone.
Oh, for entertainment. For entertainment. Like, literally, I would see
there's a lot of
this is
other opportunities to be entertained, boo.
It's like a prank phone call that you don't get in trouble for. They call you and then you prank them.
You didn't initiate it.
Exactly. Like, you do know that I almost got put in jail for prank phone calls in
college.
These
are great stories.
Wait,
these are great stories. Tell them, Joey.
You don't know these stories.
Tell them, Joey.
Okay, so now
and I love we're going to pranks because I got a few to share. Keep going, Joey.
This is one of those examples of my show notes are in the trash can right now. We have moved on to bigger and better stuff.
Oh yeah,
it's all right. So about to get juicy. So a lot of people know the situation with, you know, newer listeners, you may not know who the heck I'm talking about, but a lot of people know Bad Christian, Matt and Toby. So one of these stories involves Matt, who basically possibly kept me out of jail. So this was before cell phones. This was before caller ID. You could star 69 people. So younger people, that was the old school way of caller ID. When someone pranks you, you can hit star 69 and then you find out what their number is.
But why didn't you hit the block before you did it? You know, you could hit like star something something and it would block them for doing star 69.
Oh, I forgot about that.
See?
Don't know. Well, I don't know about the no call list. So obviously back then I didn't know about the
reverse. She knows all the hacks. She's like, please do not call me.
Like, my life is full. I got no room for these extra callers. Come on.
So I'll try to give you the cream of the crop examples, and I'm not proud of these at all. So the one that I almost got sent to, and I'm serious, like, it would not bother me at all if you guys did not crack a smile on this one. This is just horrible. But this is an example of young, immature, real immature Joey. Like, I wasn't the partier, get drunk, driving a car sort of person. I prank phone calls, and I took it further than anybody was willing to take. So, and I was employed at Winthrop University as an RA. So I was a resident assistant, seen as like a leader in the residence halls. Well, I actually called another residence hall knowing that a particular girl would be at the office as an RA, and I pretended to be depressed and suicidal. And so I got her emotionally involved in the conversation.
Hane is. All right. For our listeners, Robbie's trying not to let you hear him laugh. Hane is not trying. And Amy is smiling in disbelief.
Shaking her head.
I get her emotionally involved. And then I literally said, I'm sorry. This just isn't helping. Click. All right. So I'm sitting in my room chilling. And this younger RA comes up, like he really looks up to me, and he's like, Joey. I was like, what? He's like, there's a police officer downstairs. And I was like, okay. He's like, no, he wants to talk to you. And he looks white as a ghost, because I think he heard the chatter downstairs, like, whoever made those calls, I know who it is. I know what room it came from, blah, 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 blah. And they're going to jail. And so I go down there, and immediately the public safety officer recognizes me. And I mean, I don't know if he was like, what the fuck? Joey, I can't believe this. And like immediately it flipped from I'm taking you to jail to you are the dumbest asshole. He literally said, I was about to put you in jail. And he gives me this lecture and I'm like, I'm sorry, sorry, sorry. So that was the worst thing that I did. So let me move to lighthearted that I am proud of. And then I'll give you one more really bad one. So the lighthearted one, I love this one. So what we would do is I would be in one room. That way, Matt, Toby, Devin, and all those guys, they can be in another room and like laugh their heads off, but be muted. And so nobody can hear it. But they just couldn't control themselves because it was just so funny. So I call this sorority house. And I know a girl at the sorority house. I mean, Amy, you may even. I mean, you knew a lot of these sorority girls at Winthrop. And I basically said,
I'm starting to get like, asked, which house was it? Because if it was our house, I will cut you.
It was, yeah. But I don't.
I know you went to Winthrop, Amy. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
it was. That's awesome.
Yeah, but she got knocked up and had to leave.
I was there for two whole years, Joey. Two whole years.
Did you
get the dick from Dick?
Oh,
different Dick.
Oh, nice.
His name is Richard. Also,
oh, that's amazing.
Oh, so you could have said different dick.
That's amazing. So much dick. So much
that's
dick.
That's why when I was pregnant with my husband's child, not the first dick, I said, I was like, we cannot name this kid Richard.
Wait, I'm confused. What did you mean by not the first dick? Now I'm confused. Name, organ of the body. What are we talking about?
Oh, my God.
I'm always meaning it by the nickname for Richard.
Oh,
so my oldest child, her husband, geez Louise, my baby daddy, my original child, my firstborn, is by a Richard. His father is a Richard. So his father went by Dick and he went by Richard. My husband's father is Richard and he went by Rick. My husband goes by Dick. But I said, if we have a child, it cannot be the third because I don't want any more dicks in my life. Like, I'm done.
Over it. That is
but we,
awesome.
Thank God, had a girl. And so two girls. So literally, it was very confused. Like, if I would say, like, I could say Dick about my husband because he does go by Dick. But I never said Richard because my oldest would be like, are you talking about?
My dad?
This dad or this dad, you know
oh,
what I mean?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry for that sidebar.
So basically,
that was amazing.
That was amazing. That was gold.
I call this sorority house and I ask for a particular girl and I am acting very nerdy, very shy, very eccentric. What is eccentric? That means kind of weird, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Just making sure I have my word right. And so they're like, no, she's not here. Can we take a message? And I'm just like, oh, yes, but it's real serious message. Like, I have feelings for her. And so immediately the whole, oh my God. And so next thing I know for sure there's 10, 15 girls surrounding this phone and they're just all like, oh my God, this is so adorable. Cause I'm just acting so nerdy, so geeky. And I'm going on and on and on. They're like, well, what, you don't know what you want us to do. She's not here. And I said, well, can you get out a notebook and a piece of paper? Oh, and they're like, oh, okay, sure, sure. They're like, what do you want us to write down? And
so, this is all on the phone.
Yes, it's all on the phone. And so
it's not funny, Robbie.
Okay, I said, so are you ready? They're like, yeah, we're ready. And let's say the girl's Jenny. And I was like, dear Jenny. And then I hear Matt, Toby, and Devin from the other side of the house, on the other side of the wall, dying laughing. And then I lost character and I had to slam the phone. So I'm proud of that one. I thought that was genius.
That's good.
Here's one that I'm not proud of, but it's not as bad as the suicidal one, is I called up this, and I do remember the name on this one. And here's what's funny is Priscilla knows the story. This is like an epic story amongst college friends. And we saw this girl at the Children's Museum at Charleston. And all I had to do is say, Priscilla, that is the, and she's like, oh my gosh, because she's heard this story so many times. And this girl still doesn't know it was me. And I'm talking to her, I'm like, hey, how's it going? We're just carrying on. And she has no idea this was me. And so I prank called her, and she was like, who is this? And I was like, oh, you don't know. She's like, is this Daniel? And she said it with glee. I was like, yes, Daniel, how are you doing? Y'all, this is awful. So this is another one that I'm not proud of. And I don't even know that guy who did this. Like, I can't relate to this low bar of entertainment. So I go on and on and on. I ask her out. And she basically says, I would like to go out.
No, Joey.
So I tell her when, what time, and I get off the phone, and it's almost like I'm on this adrenaline rush. And then I look around, my friends are like, what did I just do? And I said, I've got to fix this. So I call her back, and I don't talk to these guys anymore, but I never let this down. And for good reason, they would always make fun of me with that. So I call her, she says, hello. I was like, this is not Daniel. She's like, Daniel, what? I was like, it's not Daniel. And I had this real raspy voice. Like, I needed to make sure she doesn't know that it's Joey all of a sudden, even though I was using my regular voice this time. I was like, it's not Daniel. She literally is just like, Daniel, you're freaking me out. Why are you talking to me like this?
And so I hang up again.
And so then I turned to the best hearted guy in the bunch. Obviously more so than me. I was like, Devin, you got to fix this. So he calls up.
Sweet.
He's like, listen, my friend was being an asshole. Really sorry. It was not Daniel. Not telling you who it is. So fixed it, but still that was very bad. But here's where Matt comes in, is I did one of these prank phone calls, and you know, I did a lot of them from their apartment. Cop visits his place or calls him or whatever. And I mean, Matt just stood his ground. They basically said, well, if you don't know who did it, we're taking you to jail. And I mean, Matt's a very smart guy. He knew his rights. He's just like, you can't take me to jail. And they're just like, yes, we can. It was your phone. He's like, listen, I have parties over here all the time. We don't know what people are doing in different rooms. You can't make me liable. And I mean, they really, really tried to, you know, call his bluff by basically saying, no, we're going to take you to jail. And he just kept and I was, listen to this, that was my first year of teaching, y'all.
Oh, wow.
So I did that as a professional school teacher.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, that was bad Joey. That's what bad Joey did. Okay. Bad Joey.
No. These
are the things. No, they're not.
They're great stories.
No, they're not, because there's a podcast somewhere right now where a girl is telling other girls this really awful time in college.
Oh, yeah.
This guy called me and pretended to be Daniel. That's what's happening somewhere else right now.
She still showed up for the date, hoping yes. that it was.
Yeah. She did.
Hoping against hope.
Yeah.
Hoping against hope.
Yeah. Bad thing is probably she was like, screw Daniel, like never talk to him again. She's like, you're a
oh yeah, poor Daniel.
Yeah, he's screwed. Like,
and Daniel probably wasn't a great guy. So she dodged the bullet thanks to your prank. Her.
Yeah.
Listen, all that's running through my head is I really hope you called another RA. You called a girl RA.
Yeah.
It wasn't Hayden, was it?
No. Hayden and I are friends. I wouldn't have been.
I love her.
I love Hayden. All right. So let me tell y'all one more, because I don't think Hayden has heard this one. This was actually a physical.
He loves
prank.
Telling these stories of how awful he was.
I didn't realize how much of a thing this was for Joey.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't just like one.
This is what almost got me jail time.
This was a lifestyle.
All right, so,
yeah.
This, I told my brother told my parents this, and they were serious. They said, listen, if you guys ever go to jail, we are not picking you up for this clowning around, you know. And so, Amy, do you remember the book bag? South Windham Manor is a bookstore. Yeah. It's called the book bag. All right. So my brother is dressing all alternative and bummy. You got the baggy pants and the, you know, toboggan and all that stuff. Well, he just sits in the middle of the bookstore, just plumps down, and he's just reading. And so, you know, we're looking in the window. We're seeing people like look out like, gosh, that's really crazy, because it's a very small bookstore. It's not like somebody's sitting down at Barnes & Noble. No. Like, it's a tiny bookstore. He's just sitting there. And so me and my friend, we go to a payphone, because obviously we didn't have cell phones back in the day. So we go to a payphone, and I'm like, hello, this is Sergeant Jackson from the Charleston County Police Department. We just want to let you know that we're not too worried, but we do have an escape, a convicted convict that's kind of on the loose. And we just wanted to call some businesses, and we wanted to give a description. So we described my brother. And so my brother knows what we're doing. And so the guy that's on the phone, my brother looks up at him and connects eyes, drops the book, gets up, and just darts out the door. We swing the car by. He gets in.
That one's funny. That one's funny.
I had a buddy in college that did something similar, but they staged it. They're all in on it. They're all friends. They staged an abduction in front of an Applebee's on a Saturday night. So they,
hilarious.
I mean, they're like 17, 18 years old. They pull up, they have a friend of theirs, this is a female. She's walking down the street. They pull out, they're wearing ski masks. She's in on it. They throw the trunk open in front of an entire Applebee's, throw her in the trunk, close the door, and take off. And they just like, people at the windows, like screaming and banging, and people were running out the door. They take off. They're laughing. They, you know how the cars used to be, the back seat you could bring down and you could crawl through the trunk to get back in the car. So she crawls through. They're all laughing. I think it's a great joke. About 10, 15 minutes later, they're just driving down the road laughing about it, and blue lights come on, and they're pursued by 15 police officers. I mean, they pull them over, cars surround the car. They're coming out with pistols. Everybody, hold your hands up. And they got charged with inducing public havoc. And they had to do a little community service for them, but that was pretty much it.
It would be worth it, though, because the whole time you're there, you're like, so why are you here picking up your little trash on the side of the road? And then they get to you and you're like, kidnapped a girl for fun. Like, that's the greatest story.
Oh my God.
All right. So I'm going to share one. And this doesn't turn into a crazy show and tell time, but I'm curious to see how funny Amy finds this one.
Oh, I think Amy will not find this funny if it's the one that I'm thinking you're going to share.
I don't know if you know this one, but maybe you do. Okay, so this was I was in my mid-20s. I'd already been married, so I was probably 26, 27, too old enough to know better. And we're living in Asheville, and we're in this church, and the worship leader is a good friend of ours. Actually, I play in the band, the drummer in the worship band. And he and his wife, they're younger. They're in their early 20s. They just graduated from App State, and he just got married. They were in this really small little one-bedroom home, and they're moving to a two-bedroom home in the city. They're just right outside the city. And they reached out, and they're like, hey, would some of you guys come and help us move? We're like, sure, we'd love to help you move. It's a Saturday. We're thinking it's going to be – we just throw a bunch of boxes in the truck. We take it to their new place. They didn't have much furniture. It's going to be really, really quick. And Erica and I and so another fan, another couple friend of ours, we're like, when we're done with that, be lunchtime. Let's go for a big hike up on the Blue Ridge Parkway. It'll be great. Wonderful day. We help Nate and Hannah, and then we take off. We show up at their house, and nothing's packed. Like, nothing.
Oh, I gotta go. Sorry.
The boxes are even collapsed. Like, we have to build the boxes. We have to tape them. We're even taking underwear out of drawers and putting them into boxes. Like,
nasty.
Nothing's packed. And God bless them. They were young, and they didn't know that, you know, when you move, ask people to move, it's not that you need to have the boxes ready. Like, it's not like they're going to move every piece of silverware. So in that moment, we're like, oh no, we're going to be here all day. And sure enough, and they were so kind, like they brought us pizza for lunch and had drinks and beers. And but at this point,
that's like, what you do when the shit's already boxed.
Like, right. So we're exhausted. So we are packing up the kitchen and putting up all the Tupperware. And I turned to my buddy Pete, and I'm like, hey, give me a piece of that Tupperware. And he's like, what? And I said, give me a piece of that Tupperware.
And he's like, what are you going to do? I said, just give me the Tupperware. So he gives me some Tupperware, and I see a Post-it note pad and a pen. And I take the Tupperware, the Post-it note, and the pen, and I walk in the bathroom, and I take a deuce. And I drop a turd in the Tupperware. I close it, and then I take the Post-it note, and I write on it, enjoyed moving your shit. Here's some of mine. I took it, put it in the box with all the Tupperware, sealed it up, and off it went. And I totally forgot that I did this. So 3 months later, 3 months.
I almost vomited just now.
I get a phone call from my buddy Nate, and I pick it up. Like, what's up, dude? And he's like, you asshole. And I'm like,
and he's serious. Oh, he's not
he's
joking.
Mad. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he goes, don't you act like you don't know what I'm talking about. I totally forgot about it. Like, I have no idea what you're talking about. He said, dude, we had a dinner party over tonight. We had a dinner party with multiple couples from the church, and they're all over here. And we had a huge spread. And we had all these leftovers, and Asher, who's this wonderful girl, but very, I mean, she was, you know, pearl necklace, very, you know, sweet gal.
She opened it up and she died, Hane. She's dead. She's dead, Hane. Are you happy?
She said, hey.
She evaporated.
Do you guys have any Tupperware that we can put this in? And they hadn't unpacked their Tupperware yet. And Nate's like, yeah. He goes, it's in the secondary bedroom in a box labeled Tupperware. So she opens up the box and sees on the top this little piece of Tupperware that says, enjoyed moving your shit. Here's some of mine. She opens it up and vomits all over the place. Vomits over all the Tupperware, all over the floor. They hear her vomiting. They run in like, what's happened? And she's like, there's something. I'm not sure what's in this Tupperware, but she's vomiting as she's trying to talk. They turn the lights on. They see what Nate recognized my handwriting immediately, and then called me up.
Y'all, this isn't food gone bad.
No, this is shit gone bad.
Poop gone bad. I don't even know what that's like.
Oh my god! Oh, right,
dude. It had. He said it almost pretty much liquefied. Like it had liquefied with a film.
Oh god!
A film over it at that point.
I'm gonna have to give people a warning on this episode because
at this point, well, I am laughing so hard I can't breathe
on the phone.
Oh, yeah, I can't breathe. Wow. I'm laughing so hard, and then in the middle of it, Nate, my buddy, he starts laughing, and we are on the phone just laughing for at least 5 minutes about the whole thing. He finally stops. I'm like, is Asher gone? Put her on the phone. Let me talk to her. He's like, no, she's gone. Like, we've already cleaned up all the vomit and everything. And I said, please tell me you threw that Tubby Tupperware. He's, dude, it's in the garbage can. So we hang up. I call my buddy Pete, who was there when I did the whole thing. He's like, he found it. And he's like, he found what? And I'm like, are you like the Tupperware? And then I tell the story and he loses it. And we are still, I mean, it is literally at this point, almost 20 years later, and it is still. It just, whenever we see each other or if it comes up, it's just, we all just start laughing. We can't.
And I bet you never had FaceTime with that girl, right?
No. I know her. I knew her. I know her.
You know who she
is? Oh, yeah, for sure. I know her. Yeah. And I saw her.
Have y'all talked about it?
Oh, yeah, I saw her at some point. She was like, I didn't know what it was. Yeah. But
wait, you were in person with her?
Later.
Again?
Later. Like, a week or two later.
How was that moment?
Oh, dude, you guys know me well enough now. It's like I'm not bashful about anything. I walked right up to her and I was like, Asher, I said, hey, and she started laughing, and I pulled her in and hugged her. I was like, I am so sorry. That was not intended for you to open. And she said, oh,
Amy, do you even like Hane right now?
I mean,
you don't like Hane?
She's like
my Barbie girl.
Listen. That is nasty.
It is that nasty. Is
nasty.
I agree with
like,
you.
What in the world went through your head? I'm going to defecate in someone's dish.
And hey, here's the hypocrisy. Amy did not give me this serious of a response with my right, suicidal right. phone call.
No, not at all.
Or the
suicidal is the way worse than a poopy in a piece of plastic. It's just poopy plastic.
I mean, Haynes is a distant third
no,
to suicide and setting up a date
no
with
doubt.
Joey, did anyone vomit?
No.
Maybe the girl did no, when she went from Daniel's taking me out on my date and he's my dream guy.
Am I living
in
Scream? Am I living in Scream?
Why would you?
The poop was over the top.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to take poopy and... that's nasty.
Oh my God.
I would have to burn my house down if somebody pooped in a box, in a box, in a box, in my house.
And you'll have to tell
then somebody throws up in that same
right.
Yeah. Hey, you'll have to tell a story later of how it has something to do with burned poop in it. Permeated the whole house.
No,
or something.
I don't want to hear this. Listen.
Yeah, we won't do that one. We won't do
so
that.
So we'll say this,
Robbie.
For later
I do want to ask. Yeah, Robbie, I want to ask you. Out of the four of us, you're probably second closest to God. Amy's first, then Robbie, then me, then
I got a little heathen. A little heathen. Total.
I'm way more heathen than Robbie.
No.
What?
But don't you agree with me? Like as lighthearted and as like there wasn't ill intent. I wasn't thinking, oh, you call my phone. Well, I'm going to show you. I'm going to make a laughing stock of you. It wasn't with that. But I was not seeing this person as a human. I was seeing them as a source of entertainment so that I could make my kids laugh, make Priscilla laugh. There's no way around that. Wouldn't you agree that that's not kind? I mean, right?
Yeah, I would say I see where you're coming from, but I would probably, it's such a normal thing to joke on telemarketer calls, you know, that like for me, it's either normal to either joke on them or to be angered by them too. For me as well, like I mean, I probably wouldn't do like a prank call on it, but I would be very short with them. And if they're trying to push to talk to me and sell me something, even after I told them I wasn't interested, I'd probably get even more just like abrupt, maybe even rude, you know, but yeah, like, I mean, I see what you're saying from it, but I guess I just don't really see it as like that big of a deal because I've been on the other side of it as well, where I had to call a ton of people that I didn't know. And, you know, like basically it was like a number goal in a day where I had to call a little over 100 people in a day. And I don't remember all 100, obviously. Yeah. Now, your calls, they probably remembered.
Yeah, I mean, there's a part of me that thought I gave them a story to go tell their roommates.
Oh, yeah. That was like the funnest part of working in a place that operated like a call center. I worked at a property management place that sold fixer-upper homes. And when I first started working there, they told me we were selling homes. But in training, they showed me the home. And I was like, what in the world are we selling?
Oh, you know? Gosh.
They were like terrible. I didn't know anything about fixer-uppers back then. But literally every day we came home with a story. You know, it's just like a bunch of cubicles or whatever in my department. And I'm sitting next to this girl named Ashley one day. And she's just giggling on her call. And I'm like in between calls. And I keep looking at her. I'm like, why are you giggling? And she just keeps giving me the finger like, hold on. So then after the call, she tells me this guy calls in and is like, hey, I saw your property on the side of the road. She's like, all right, give me the address. All right, are you interested in purchasing the property? And the guy said, your house has no floor. she's like laughing, but she's trying to remain professional. And he's like, and I'm pretty sure there's like some walls missing and there's this and there's that. And he started listing off all this stuff. And she's just sitting over there giggling. And she's like, okay, do you have a plan of repair for the property? Like, do you still want the property? Like, she's just like trying to be professional and still sell it. And then he goes, you must expect me to be Bob the Builder. She just loses it.
Oh, man.
You know, and so afterwards, I mean, like, we were just rolling from that phone call. Apparently his wife is in the car telling him, stop messing with that girl. Stop messing with that girl. Oh. You know, but so on the other end, sometimes it is fun to have a little bit of entertainment,
yep.
You know, as long as the person's not rude.
So I was a blessing. So I'm beating myself up, and I was actually a blessing.
I wouldn't take it that far, Charlie. I mean,
thank you.
Right.
Hey, this one kills me when someone calls me to sell me something, and I say, hey, this really isn't a good time. No, thank you. And they click. They hang up on me. That, I'm just like, you have got to be kidding
really?
Me. Here I responded, told you no thank you, and you hung the phone up on me like that.
Oh, that's interesting. Wait, that's interesting. If that bothers you, I'd be like, sweet, yeah. This is over.
No, I would want them to say, okay, bye.
The southerner in you, and like, no pleasantry on the end of the call.
I know.
Exactly.
They're sitting up north, like, so interesting. Next.
Say bye.
But yet, Joey.
To me, it's similar as like me letting someone into traffic and there's no tinted windows and you can't give me a salute or a thumbs up or a wave.
I'm like that about opening the door. And when I open the door for people and they just walk through, don't wave, don't say thank you, don't anything. I'm like,
yes, you are a stranger doing something nice to another stranger. They can't say thank you.
But Joey, is there a double standard here? Because sometimes you just leave a meeting. You're just gone.
I'm full of double standards. Huh? Oh.
Oh, that just got
you
real.
Know what I mean?
Y'all are friends, though.
I'm feeling uncomfortable, and I'm about to get out of here.
No, but because friends. We're friends, we should be entitled to a goodbye. If it's a stranger, they can just click.
Joey always
no, because
says
y'all
bye.
Are my friends, y'all should understand me. And I do say bye. I type it in the chat.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. I'll give you that. I do get a bye type.
He always is like, the
Joey
goodbye. I gave you exactly 60 minutes. I'm out. Bloop. Sorry, my time is tight. Gotta go.
Need to recharge battery.
Hayne, what do you think about the phone stuff?
Me?
Yeah.
As far as the telemarketer, is that what you're asking?
Telemarketers call me and I heckle them and I treat them as entertainment for me.
That's great. That's fun. I mean, to me, if you're going to cold call somebody, someone that doesn't know you, you're going to intrude in their life like that and try to sell them something. You have to be willing to submit yourself to however they're going to respond to you. And if they're going to heckle you and if they're going to, or just hang up on you, or they're not going to, you just have to roll with it. So I think it's cool that you heckle them. I don't do that because I just want to waste my time. So similar, like Amy was like, yeah, just clicking this over with. I'm similar. So I don't want to waste any more time in the conversation. I often, if I pick up and I go, hello, and I hear a pause and then I hear Mr. Griffin, I hang up. I just like, boom.
Same. Yeah. Gone. Same. If I hear a beep, boop,
nope,
I'm like,
boom.
Nope.
I just hang up.
If I see a number I don't know, I say, voicemail. Well,
and I do that too. I'm very similar to Amy in that way. Like if I don't recognize it, I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to answer this phone call.
Yeah. I don't mind it as much as the door-to-door people.
Oh, don't even talk to me.
Ever since I bought a house, it's like every single day somebody's trying to sell me solar. Somebody's trying to sell me pest control. Yeah. I mean, we've been here for almost 3 years now. And it's still.
Oh, and how do you terrible. Treat them? Because I'm going to tell you, I'm not nice. What do you say?
I'm not. Well, I try not to go outside now that I have my Ring doorbell installed.
There you go.
I just don't answer the door.
I don't have that.
But usually I like, you know, I tell them I'm not interested pretty immediately. And they could pretty much tell on my face because they're always trying to, what's your name? Do you have kids? Oh my gosh, are you having dinner? Actually, yeah, I am having dinner right now. And you're interrupting that. You know, and then Bear runs outside naked. And I'm like, Bear, get back in the house. You know, just like, oh, it's always a thing. It's always a thing. Yeah. So anyway, I always try to avoid it. But they have all their follow-up questions just in case the person immediately says no.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, who do you go with already? How much have they quoted you? Why are you saying no today? So and eventually you do have to just be rude. And be
no,
like, look.
This is how you do it. First of all, you don't open the
door. Hang on a second, Amy. I'm going to act like I'm coming to your door and I want this to go down. You ready? Mm-hmm. Here we go. All right.
Do a real knock for us.
I'm going to do a doorbell. Ding okay. dong.
So we hide.
Everybody assume the position.
Everybody shelter in place.
No, we don't try to act like we're not home. We just don't get the dough. Like the TV stays as loud as it was. We're still talking to each other. Like it's just like don't come to my dough. Joey. But you want to? But you want to know what I do?
Well, if people at my house, they're hearing.
Yeah, that. Like. But you want to know what would happen if you really came to my door? Kane is dying. If you really came to my door and I actually open it, or let's say they try to catch me coming in the door, and someone's like, "Ma'am, can I have a moment of your time?" No, and I keep walking. It's like, well, I just. And then if they want to say, like how you were saying, Robbie, like if they say, well, you know, who's your current service with? I say, this is a non-solicitation neighborhood. You being here is inappropriate. And you are asking me questions that are intrusive and inappropriate and unprofessional. Do not come to my home and ask me invasive questions.
And I think they'll take they the take hint from the Harry hint. With it the is, look that so.
That's good. I love that. And I also need safe. To know how to get on the do not call list.
Go to donotcallregistry.com. I Googled it earlier. That's what it is.
Does it work?
All right. I want to get into it.
Yes.
Amy said it works very well. Yeah.
It doesn't work for like bots and stuff, only for like a real telemarketer.
Okay.
I want to get into something real heavy, but I do have to share one story for telemarketer for me. So Priscilla, when it comes to scheming in front of other people, she is just so freaking punchy and slow. Like I can't get her to like lock in on what I'm trying to do. Even if it's just a lighthearted joke on somebody else in the room, it's just like, what are you talking about? Next thing I know, the joke is blown. I'm like, thanks a lot. I was looking at you like, shh. So I think they were Jehovah's Witnesses. Oh, nice. And we got out of the car, we see them walking up and I'm like, oh shoot. And so I just don't want to tell people, hey, I don't want to talk to you. So I was thinking, okay, what do I do? But then I thought, what can I do where Priscilla's not going to blow the whole thing? Well, I had been struggling with a kidney stone that weekend.
Oh, gosh.
And so it was nothing for me to just have pain like right away, like all of a sudden, because if the stone isn't moving, I don't have pain. If the stone starts to move, I do have pain. And so I basically turned to Priscilla and I have this look of just horrible pain. I was like, Priscilla, that stone just started moving again. This is killing me. And she looks at those Jehovah Witnesses, those sweet people. And she's just like, I am sorry. He has got a kidney stone and we are going in the house right now. We cannot like she goes, Mama Bear, like, don't mess with my man. Right, he's got a kidney stone. Don't talk to them. We get in the house. And I'm like, all right, good job. She's like, what are you talking about?
High five.
Like, there you go.
That's
all right. Let me ask y'all something. It's long overdue. Like I wanted to talk about this a long time ago, but we just haven't really gotten the chance and we've had some content built up. But Pat Robertson, do y'all know who that
yes.
is? Does everybody know who Pat Robertson is?
700 Club?
Like 700 Club?
Yeah. Okay. So Robbie, he's like ultra, ultra conservative. Right-wing conspiracy. If a big storm hits a country, he wants to point out the evil and the homosexuality as to why that storm went. Is that kind of guy. He did run for the Republican nominee, I don't know, 88.
Christian Coalition.
I guess. Christian Coalition. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, to a lot of Christians, he is a hero. He speaks the truth. 700 Club, all of that. Well, he passed away. And I don't spend a whole lot of time on Twitter, but I saw on Twitter and I don't have any sort of revere for this guy. I'm not a fan of Pat Robertson, but I was mortified and also understanding. It's not like I was like, these people are absolute disgusting to me, but I did think to myself, man, this is just unfortunate that here's where we're at as a human race. You would not believe the hateful things. And we're not talking Pat Robertson, you did some horrible things, end it there. It was, we're glad you're dead. There were some people saying, I wish there really was a hell. There were some people saying, Pat Robertson is burning and screaming right now, and we are all partying. I mean, it was basically the most unbelievable things. And I'm like, people are typing this and sending it out, and this is a human being. And so I want to read some dialogue. So I got the feel that everybody that's taking part in this conversation that I'm about to read, they're all gay affirming. So this person says, this post is part of the problem. Whether we agree with his views or not, who are we to pass judgment on him? He fought for what he thought was right and godly, the same as we are doing now. I am sick and tired of the blatant disrespect and polarization from both sides. I identify as both Orthodox Christian and gay, and I am so disillusioned by blame game from both sides that results in society telling me that I can't be both. So, this person is responded, and the person says, literally no one said you can't or shouldn't be a Christian. Now, if you were the kind of Christian he was, we'd be criticizing you too. So this person responds and says, I'm sorry, but celebrating someone's death is just evil. I don't care how bad that person may seem to you. Celebrating their death is just absolutely uncalled for. They could have been dealing with stuff they never had the confidence to talk about. Hurt people. You cannot preach about love, but only make it seem like certain people are capable of love. This is actually disgusting that you would say the world is a better place without blah, blah, blah in it. Only God has that power to judge us for our trespasses and wrongdoings. Do better. And I'll read a couple of more. So this is the response. The way you're referring to him shows just how little you actually care about the LGBTQ community. No matter how bad that person may seem to you, like, no, he was a legitimately bad person. There's no way around that. You don't get to tell people to give basic respect to someone that wanted them dead for just existing. Centrists like you do more harm than good. And then the response is, no, the fact that you're mad at the man who was spreading hate when you're spreading hate and praising his death is equivalent to me. You're no better than him. I really am curious what you guys think.
I just think that this is why I don't like social media. I just think, I don't think any of that is healthy or effective or anything. I mean, I just think, don't cast your pearls before swine, meaning, you know, don't give, like, if there's, I'm not going to put a lot of energy into something that's not going to be fruitful, me personally. So I'm not going to get on Facebook and argue with a keyboard. I'm just not going to do it. I don't think it's helpful. I have done it. I've done it not necessarily with people I don't know as much as people I do know, like had conversations with them and vehemently disagreed. And it was probably, I'd say like 10 years ago, this one person and I were interacting for quite a while on a post, and it's somebody that I'm friends with. And I just realized, like, wow, I just went down a rabbit hole all day long. This was really terrible. And even though it's somebody that I knew, we would have had a better conversation in person, and maybe not, maybe that's just their opinion. But like, I just am not a fan of like going back and forth.
Yeah, and I will say this, that if a lot of that, because there was tons of people chiming in saying tons of really celebratory things, if some of those were coming from, I don't know who these people are, exactly what you were saying, Amy, which is part of the problem is we don't know who any of these people are, their stories or anything. I'm sure some of those people were gay people who are scarred, who are abused, who are still dealing with trauma. I don't look down on them. I don't look at them with anger. I do hear anyone, gay, straight, male, female, if they talk about someone like that, I have compassion because it's coming from such a broken, and I don't mean ugly as in they're ugly, but just a very disturbed place. Like if you really are super happy about someone burning in hell forever and ever, like if that's your belief, I just feel bad that sort of stuff is inside of you.
Like, well, I feel like if you really think that there's eternal conscious torment, and you know, that is where I lean, then there is not a soul that you would rejoice in that. I don't care. You can give me the boogeyman, whoever. Like, if you really love Jesus and you are saved and you believe in hell, the actual hell, burning in hell, like there's not a soul that you want there. I mean, I have been taken advantage of as a kid and have had an abusive relationship as an adult, and obviously not with my husband now, but I will say that just for safety's sake, like this obviously would not him. But you know, I mean, I've been through the thick of a lot of things, and there is not a single person. I've had someone, you know, not be gracious towards my children, like lots of different things. And there's just not a soul I would rejoice in them literally being in hell. No.
I was thinking here recently just about like how easy it is to find discontentment with things like your career or where you are in life, just basically giving too much stock or investment in the internet or in social media, because now you're comparing your life to so many other things that aren't actually real. So you know, you go from the things that are right in front of you to viewing basically fantasy. We don't call it fantasy, but now basing your life off of something that is fantasy. And you know, in this particular case with Pat Robertson, I had to Google him, but I definitely recognize him. You know, for someone that to be so hateful towards someone that they don't know personally, I feel like, first of all, that's every day. That's all day, every day. Everybody does that now. But you have to ask the question, why? Like, why? And I believe that, especially since you say that it's from the LGBTQ community, there's so much hurt that is wrapped around that, and that is associated with voices of faith, voices of American Christianity. And that's so almost traumatic that it's like, if anybody falls into that category, then the same intense anger gets applied to that person or that thing. So like, they can't even, you know, they can't hear them, they can't love them, they can't, you know, it's like immediately the trauma takes over. Yeah, and now it's like not really a human, you know, like they, you don't really view the person as a human, you view it as the person who hurt you, you know. And you know, when people are hurt, I know you say you feel bad for them, and yeah, like, but it is all consuming, you know, and it can multiply, it can cause people to do like really, really irrational things. Not everybody's really healthy in their hurt.
Yeah. That's such a compassionate perspective, honestly, that I just always need to be reminded of. Now, I think where I would maintain my perspective are people who are saying that, and it's not from a hurtful place. It's just from a, he deserves that. That's what he did to everybody else. So he deserves this celebration of burning in hell. But yeah, I agree with you. And this in no way is, I don't mean this in a dehumanizing way, demeaning way. I would even put myself in this category in times of hurt, but you think of like a dog that's like totally cute dog, wouldn't hurt anything. But if you back it up into a corner and you start doing stuff to it that's super hurtful, at some point it's going to bite.
Yeah, it's
going to
break.
Because it doesn't know what else to do. You're hurting it.
Yeah. It reminds me of the cycle of violence, but it's rather than it being an actual punch or war, it's our rhetoric. So you know, you say something to me that really hurts me, then I'm going to come back at you and say something doubly hurt. It's, you know, you punch me, I punch you twice as hard. You punch me three times as hard, I bite you. You hit me in the throat, and it evolves into let's go nuclear. And I think that is one of the beautiful messages of Christ is by turning our cheek, by loving our enemy, it breaks the cycle of violence. It's the cycle of violence that is broken. It can't spool out of control anymore. It's brilliant teaching. Whether you think Jesus is the Son of God or just a great teacher, it's brilliant teaching. It's stopping that cycle of violence. And I'm completely with Amy when she talked about the social media piece, because I do the Instagram thing, but it's just photos. That's pretty much it. The short time that I was on Facebook,
I never read anything that changed my mind about anything. It was just posturing. It was people being defensive. And you know, when people start getting defensive, no one's going to come off of their line because their ego won't allow them to come off their line. They've owned it. They've owned it publicly. They've owned it publicly on Facebook in front of all their friends. Their ego is telling them, if you just change your mind, if you come off of this, you're weak. It shows that you're wrong. And of course, we can even get into the teachings of Jesus about when we're weakest, we're our strongest. Just this unbelievably countercultural way of seeing the world. And that's, again, God, a great teacher. He was brilliant. He was absolutely brilliant. So, but yeah, it's, I'm not on social media as far as the dialogue piece, and I'm interested in reading it because it tends to be the folks that wrote those things. And I think it was actually said, you read it, Joe, hurt people, or I think that was, and I thought about that. It's like, for sure. You know, I was once, you know, the brilliant Franciscan Richard Rohr says, we do two things with our pain. We're either transformed by our pain, or we transmit our pain onto everybody else. And I think that's so true in my human experience and the experience in my own life. Pain and suffering, hurt is a crossroads. You have a choice to make, and you can choose to make you into a more resilient, more loving person, or you can choose to just absolutely embody it, hold it in, and transmit it on to everybody else around you. And that's the sad part about, I think, a lot of what you read, is that there are so many people, they were just transmitting the pain that he put on them back into the world. And the cycle of violence got bigger and bigger and bigger and got nuclear and fell out on a lot of, you know,
but people. For all those people commenting, here's my thing. I don't get this. So like, if I know that somebody is against me from, let's say, I mean, you know, okay, so they're against me as a woman. I'm just trying to think of like, what is someone going to be? I'm obviously straight. So I'm not going to be, no one's going to be against me for my sexual preference or orientation or whatever the right term is. But like, if you're against me because I'm a woman, or if you're against me because I'm a Christian, or because I'm a mom, or whatever it is, like, I mean, I just don't really give that person a lot of my time or energy, because I know, like when I came out and said, you know, it was hard for me when we did the abortion conversation, and I was like out in the open to say, like, yes, I've had an abortion. And because I know there's a lot of people who will hear it and will judge just like that. And I could let what they want to say to me be really deeply painful and hurt my feelings, and maybe be worried about, like, will somebody discredit my faith or want to not listen to what I have to say, or, you know, maybe not give me a platform because of that or whatever. And I really just have to say, you know, the truth of the truth of the truth is that I've been forgiven, and I have experienced his forgiveness for that. And it was a really hard conversation to even, like, let it out of my mouth at some point, like, God, I know this was wrong, and to, like, walk through that. And I just think when you have these things that are deeply private or deeply painful or, you know, deeply emotional, you just really can't let somebody that you don't know put things on you like that. You know what I mean? Like, if you didn't know Pat Robertson personally, I mean, I don't really know how he's done much to you, you know? I mean, and maybe I'm stupid, but I'm like, I understand, like, I mean, he didn't win an election, so I don't know that he was really, like, I mean, I don't know that he was lining the pockets of politicians or whatever, but I mean, you know, so I can't say that he was, like, swinging votes that way or what, or the other way. I don't know, but I just think, like, which is more powerful, to get in an argument about him and be glad he's burning in hell on social media, or to use all that power and energy to put your best face on whatever your situation is? Like, I would rather, if I'm going to talk about abortion, I'm going to immediately follow that up with, you're not going to shame me, you're not going to guilt me, you're not going to, none of that, because I'm already set free from that and I've experienced that. And I hold fast to what my pastor said to me when I went to him to talk about it. Finally, he said, people are going to bring, anytime this comes up, the enemy is going to want to shame you and guilt you. And I want you to know that this is as far from you as the East is from the West, and that you should absolutely have no more shame and no more guilt. Mm. Whether you ever choose to share this or not, you have to stand up to the enemy every time you feel less than because of this and stand on freedom. Mm. And I have literally been like, I'm not, you know, I don't run around town and tell people, you know, I'm never, when I'm leading youth, I don't, you know, bring it up or anything like that. This is too sensitive of a situation, but, you know, if I was one-on-one with someone in that situation, you know, I definitely would talk from, you know, what I know. And I just think if you don't have a personal interaction with somebody, if there's somebody up on some big platform that's being ugly, you can either get on Facebook and have some word war, or you can put all that time and energy into actually making a difference somewhere.
Yeah, I know.
By putting a better face on it, you know? Like, if you don't have a relationship with someone, like, why are you worried about it? Like, I don't understand. Hmm. I'm like,
unless it directly affects you.
So let's talk about that word relationship, because I think that's so important. And I've said it before, you know, all great things ultimately happen in relation. There is no relationship. And I've not changed my mind on things in my, I mean, I'm not saying this universally, but generally speaking, I don't change my mind on things that I read on the internet usually. I change my mind because I have a relationship with somebody. Mm-hmm. I know who they are. I trust them. And we have a dialogue together. And it's a dialogue. It's not a defensive posturing where we're going to talk. I mean, you and I have had this before, Amy, a couple of times. Yeah, we disagree on some spiritual things and some biblical stuff. But I love how you challenge me. And I remember you once came to me, and we were talking about the pronouns about God. You know, he, she. We had this wonderful, it's because we're friends. It's because we have a relationship with each other. We trust one another. And we can, that's what I love about this whole group, actually. I think it's so wonderful about it is that, I mean, something when we were connected earlier this week, Robbie, just you challenged me on my posturing about, how I felt about, I think we're talking about the phrase master bedroom. Yeah, the house, master bedroom. Yeah. And I was being a little calloused and you said, you know, I'm not offended by it, but there are people that could offend. And I just love when you said that. I was like, man, I needed to hear that. I needed to hear that. That was wonderful to me, for me to hear, you know, I need to be sensitive to the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I really appreciated that, Robbie. And just to be transparent to say, yeah, because we're having dialogue. Mm-hmm. We're having dialogue. And it's civil, and we have each other's backs, and we're in relationship, and we love each other, and there's a kindness there. And boy, it is near impossible to generate that over the internet, to have a trusting connection with somebody. Because when you don't have that, you're just gonna hold a posture and just dig your heels in.
Mm-hmm. Whenever you don't feel like you are seen or heard, even if you're disagreed with, if you're not seen or heard, it leads to frustration, resentment, anger, you know, and it doesn't give good fruit. So yeah, it's a great opportunity to have conversations with people that do disagree, but you see it done well. You see there's still love that remains there, and you can move on and still have friendships and live life together.
Mm-hmm. I was telling a friend of mine this week, so Tuesday night we're in Bible study, and I said the R word. I said retarded. And I immediately, when I say that word, I'm like very aware, like I can hear it. I'm aware, like my girls cringe. Like they're like, we don't say that word. And so we use the two terms we used a lot, like growing up, is that's gay, or you're so retarded, that's retarded, whatever, whatever. So obviously when I opened my horizons and had a lot more or started having friends who were gay, then obviously you picture their faces when you hear the word gay. Mm. And so it becomes personal. And so you're like, I'm not going to use it. And that way that is offensive. So when I said it Tuesday night, I immediately heard it and I was like, guys, and I was so sorry because, you know, two of the people who were on the, in the Bible study were on Zoom, who are in there and that I'm in relationship with, have a family member who suffers with autism. And so I'm immediately like, I'm an idiot. And I was like, guys, I just want to let y'all know, like, every time I say that word, I hear it. It is something that is lingering. I'm still working on it. I'm trying to get rid of it. But I want to let you know, like, I see her face and I'm aware of it. And it is a cringe moment and it is embarrassing. And I'm working on it. Like, I'm so sorry.
Good for you. Yeah.
And it's like, and then I was at work and I was telling that story to a friend of mine and I was like, I don't know. Like, I just wish I could, like, erase that word, like, saying it that way. Because, and I think that's what you have to do is you have to expand your horizons enough to be educated enough to have people in the areas, all areas, so that you are more open to think, like, to hear a different perspective. So that if you're going to be offensive in some way, instead of being offensive, you think about the person you care about. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, when you were telling me, Robbie, about, like, the plantations and, like, walking across and, you know, being an artist who's going there to perform and being treated less than, I'm dying. Like, I literally was talking to Dick and I was like, I don't think I can ever go back to one of the gardens. Like, I don't think I can.
Wow.
You know, like, I just feel like I would be uncomfortable. Like, I feel like I would go and just be like, no.
Yeah, Robbie, I've actually been thinking about the next time someone asks me to do their wedding ceremony. I think I need to ask them where, and I don't think that I can do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think
and,
I could. I
mean, and that's a cool opportunity to talk about that with them.
It is, and I know that, and this is just what's going to happen, and that this is silly of me because it could stir a really good conversation, but I think typically, especially in the South, your chances are that person's going to be made to feel like, oh, so you think I'm a really bad person for having my wedding here. And that's not what I'm saying. Hey, I've done tons of weddings and plantations, and I wasn't actively trying to be a racist, insensitive to, you know, the history in our country. So I'm certainly not saying you're a bad person. I'm just saying, knowing what I know and the people that I'm close to, I can't do that. You know?
I love it. I mean, I was really hoping when you were telling your story about using the R word that you said there's two people in the Bible study that have Down syndrome. I thought you were going to say that the way that that was going. And I thought that thought to me was like, what's that?
That would be so bad.
It would be awful. Absolutely awful. But the way that you were going, like, I think you were trying to process, like, you were putting the pieces together. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope she's not going to say something like that.
And I was trying not to be, like, overly emotional in the moment because I just was so disappointed in myself. Like, you know, like, I'm just, like, that's hurtful. And I could see on their face, like, it's, like, hurtful, you know, and these are people
that you were so honest about it. You're so
open,
but
you just feel
so good.
Yeah.
But we're all a work. We're a work in process.
Practicing. We were all practicing.
We are.
We're learning. You know.
We are, and we're all works in progress.